Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
A local manufacturing company is expanding. Let's learn more about it and go in-depth with Chad Heiser with Laley. So, Chad, how's business?
I have to say that right now we couldn't ask for a lot better situation in the marketplace. Our business is quite strong and continuing to grow.
And how long have you been in Pella? I know it's been over 5 years.
Oh, boy. Well, if you go back all the way back in time, we've been in Pella since 2003, 2004. Probably were at that point non-noticeable or weren't seen by many in the marketplace. But the facility we're in here, on Vermeer's campus, we've been in, it'll be almost 6 years here in November when we moved in. So it has gone very quickly.
Well, and then not very long ago, it seems like you expanded nearly, I don't know, a third more space. Is that about right?
Yeah, we added, when we first constructed this facility, we had a plan as to when it would take us as far into the future in terms of being able to support the market and the organization. And we're kind of coming to a point where we're looking and evaluating that again and saying, what does this facility, what does this organization for North America need to look like? And we've been in growth mode, and we continue to be in growth mode as we look ahead the next 2 or 3 years.
Well, and people that might not be familiar with what Laley does, you build robotic milking machines. Yep. And other kinds of things related to that, right?
Yeah, that's correct. So the product line we support here from this facility is our full line of dairy equipment. It is built around automation. So whether that's automated milking systems or automated feeding systems, our dairy product line is really looking for ways to maximize the return for a dairy producer in terms of automation and what we can automate on a dairy farm. So yeah, our focus certainly in the last 5 years has been around the automated milking systems, which we do produce here in the Pella facility. Throughout that time, though, we have moved some other products to this facility, and we're going to continue to look at some new products that are on our horizon in 2018, and being able to build and produce those here in Pella as well. So that's it's all good signs that the market is being very receptive to our product, and likewise, that means we have to continue to look ahead and plan for the future, and that's what we find ourselves in today.
And the products are all related to the dairy industry?
They are, but what's interesting is, and with most innovative companies, what you first believe the product primary market to be certainly tends to get the market started and get the product off and running, and then you tend to find other applications. And what we're finding today is a good example for an automated feeding system. Certainly was designed with a dairy producer in mind, but we're now exploring other markets. Can we use it to feed beef cattle, as an example? If you look at livestock that has to be fed, certainly a dairy cow is primarily using that that feed input as part of its milk processing situation or milk production situation. But if you look at fattening beef cattle or even goats, all livestock has to be fed. It's a question of what's the current process they're using today, and can it be automated, maybe with the existing product we have or with maybe some slight modifications to the product? Can we find another market for that particular product?
No. Well, one of the things that's been most intriguing to me about your operation is that it sort of sets up the cattle in the milk cattle in sort of more their natural environment, mm-hmm. natural social yep. organization. They wander around and they really milk themselves. Until I saw that happen, I really didn't believe that could happen. But it seems that maybe that and the feeding as well, but. And the monitoring of mm-hmm. of them and their yeah, health yeah, and all that amazing yeah. stuff, it would seem that maybe that would, and you're saying it's moving maybe over into the beef cattle industry, but are you thinking about like maybe hogs or chickens or anything like that, or am I sort of thinking?
Yeah, it's certainly appropriate to think about it because we have all kinds of livestock in the agriculture industry, and what it really boils down to is how are those animals? What's the current process that's being used today for housing and feeding of those animals? And are there ways to optimize those processes? And in some cases, the way we feed a dairy cow versus the way a beef cow is fed, and let's say a large large feedlot operation, there are some similarities. Now, if you look at a swine or a poultry operation, they do tend to have a little bit of a different feeding style. If you look at the material they're putting through from a feed and nutrition standpoint, it is a bit different than how we feed cattle. So those are some of the differences. But for Lely, you know, the innovative side of our business is always looking at opportunities, you know, to maximize, you know, whether it be efficiencies on an operation. Again, our focus has certainly been on dairy. But what's interesting is, like I said, with innovative companies, you tend to find maybe market opportunities that you didn't first see there as available, maybe when the product was first brought to the market. Again, we'll have to go through the process to say, is it a viable market for us to invest in, you know, or do we stay in some of our core competencies around dairy? Certainly our focus remains very much on dairy, but it doesn't mean we don't keep an eye open for other opportunities.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Chad Heiser with Lely. Well, now I understand you're going to expand yet again.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that, you know, as with any growing organization, and certainly we've been in growth mode, you know, for the last 5 or 6 years, so we're constantly trying to keep an eye toward the future and anticipate what our organization is going to need to look like, you know, in support of the market, what our facility is going to need to look like. You know, with Pella being our North American headquarters, you know, certainly our primary focus is making sure this facility and this organization here is ready to support the market growth. And likewise, about half of our employees here in North America don't reside here in Pella. You know, so we still have a good portion of our employees that we support, you know, in their local markets around North America. So we're balancing what that growth needs to look like in terms of organization and people. And certainly we're going to be adding more positions. And likewise, I think it'd be prudent for us to say, you know, we're busting at the seams in some cases, you know, with our current facility. And we're having to look at what those needs are going to be into the future, whether it be for our training facility that we have here based in Pella, if we're going to need more production space. Certainly those are discussions that are underway and we have to be thinking about to be ready for those market opportunities that continue to be very kind to us. We're enjoying a very robust market for our automation in the dairy industry specifically, and it doesn't look like that's going to do anything but continue to go up in the coming years.
Well, if the company does good overall, that's, you know, good for Pella, but mm-hmm. What does it mean specifically, this growth for Pella, in terms of jobs and opportunities?
Yeah, no, it's a great question, and I think that if I look in the rearview mirror, you know, 5 or 6, 7 years ago almost now, when we first started dreaming about expanding this organization, you know, putting a facility here in Pella, and ultimately leading through the construction of this facility, you know, one of the things that certainly I think it can mean for the local economy here is we're going to continue to create jobs. One of the things I'm probably most proud of is if I look back, you know, 6 or 7 years ago, our team in Pella was probably 10 or 11 people. Today I've got 46 people based here in Pella, and there's going to be more positions added here in Pella. So that's neat to see us be able to create some job opportunities, you know, in an innovative kind of high-tech industry. You know, sometimes agriculture doesn't necessarily always get viewed as the most advanced industry, but if you really look at the types of things we're doing and the types of positions that we'll have, you know, it's a pretty innovative high-tech product. So for younger generations coming out of whether it be high school or, you know, college or two-year trade schools, you know, the exciting part is, you know, we're offering an opportunity in agriculture that's on the cutting edge of what we're doing, and that's where we've tended to be as an innovative company. So that's the neat part about what we're able to offer is it's going to offer something for just about everybody as we look at it, continue to add positions both here in Pella and, you know, across North America.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Chad Heiser with Lely. well, as we sit here, we can, in the conference room, I can look out and see the people working, and it looks like such a comfortable work environment. Everybody's at their computer. Well, not everybody's at their computer. Some people are sitting down, sort of an open office space. Some people are standing. People are walking around talking. Looks like they're solving problems in a creative environment.
It's, you know, it's funny. So if anybody's had a chance to visit our office, we introduced a kind of an open concept when we first constructed this facility. And you know, on one hand, it is extremely collaborative, exactly as you just described. That's pretty much a typical day, as you'll see people up and down. They'll be moving around. We try and be logical in how we approach people where they sit and different things. And likewise, it can be a little chaotic at times because it's a busy office environment and the phones are ringing and there's work to be done. And to your point, there's problems to be solved. And that's what we've tried to create, an environment where we make it as easy for people to get to the bottom of issues and work together and solve those problems, hopefully on behalf of our distribution network and all of that end customer, that we can continue to provide that high level of customer support that we want to do.
Now, how big is your expansion going to be, and what's going to be done in it?
It's really still in the early phases of that idea. Certainly we've got a training center, and our training needs have expanded dramatically. We were able to find a location here outside of this facility, but here in Pella, to have our training facility. So if anybody's driven out around Boss Land and the new construction that went on out there with the Hopkins Group, we have our training facility out there. But long term, we have to look at what that opportunity looks like. But likewise, we're going to need more space in terms of production area as we bring more products to Pella to build. If you were to walk in our production facility today, because of the high level of production that we're on, we're busting at the seams. So it's a little full, let's put it that way, which is good. It's an indicator that the market's strong. But, when we dreamed of this facility 5 or 6 years ago, we had some assumptions that we made. We've been able to surpass many of those, and that's also leading to us to have to think about what does this organization and facility have to look like in the coming couple of years to be ready for that next level of growth that we absolutely believe is on the horizon.
Now, the last time you expanded, I came out for a tour, and there was this whole big, room with nothing in it. And I said, well, what's going in there? And you said, well, we don't know yet, but we know we're planning for the future.
Yep.
And now, in just those few years, you've filled that and need to go on.
Yeah, and that's the exciting part is when plans, start to come together, when we put those together 5 or 6 years ago, again, you make the best assumptions you can based on certain dynamics and market conditions and that type of thing. And then you work very hard with kind of the annual or tactical plans to make sure you start hitting those milestones. And the exciting part for us is we've been able to hit many of those milestones earlier than we'd anticipated. Whether that's in terms of total sales level, of market adoption, whatever criteria you're looking at. So if we even apply conservative, projections to what the next 5 years looks like, the numbers get quite staggering in terms of total sales opportunity, what we've been able to achieve in the first 5 years. If that's an indicator of what the next 5 years look like, there's a very bright future for us in this marketplace. Certainly the market continues to be very receptive, like I said, to the product. And that all leads us to have to think about what is the right moment of time to look at the organization, making sure that it's fit to be ready for the support of that growth. It's balancing growth in terms of those things is always a delicate formula. You never want to be too far in front of the growth, because if the growth doesn't happen, then you've made investments that maybe you don't need to make. And likewise, you don't want to be too far behind the growth in the market, because then you tend to put a lot of stress on the organization, and you probably don't provide the high level of service and support that we really strive to do. And that's a fine balance that a lot of organizations, wrestle with on a daily basis, and certainly we're no exception to that. So those are the things that, if I look at my daily schedule, that's what tends to consume a good portion of my time, is trying to look out a little bit longer range and say, what do we need to look like as an organization, in anticipation of that market growth. And that's exciting. That's what makes this job fun.
Now, one hears so much over the past couple of years negative about the agricultural mm-hmm. industry in
yeah.
terms of crop prices,
yeah.
cattle markets.
Absolutely.
We hear so much negative. This appears the dairy industry it appears it must be a bright spot, is it?
It's interesting because what you just described, certainly if you followed any of the media coverage and just living in an agricultural based area, you know, we've seen net farm incomes, you know, drop to, you know, half of what they were at their peak in, 2013, maybe 2014. So a lot of our agriculture producers, row crop and livestock producers, it hasn't been a fun time to manage through that. And I would say it's a little bit interesting because dairy tends to, you know, follow the cyclical nature of milk pricing, at least here in the U.S. Canada's a bit different. And I would say most of our dairy producers at their current price levels are at or slightly above their break even. Now, what you tend to see, however, and what's driving our business isn't that dairy is having its, you know, best years ever. That's certainly not the case. But one of the constant situations that we're facing in the dairy industry is, and we've talked about this, I think, in the past, is the availability of labor on a dairy farm today to continue to milk cows in a conventional parlor, whether that be a parallel parlor, a rotary parlor, just in a conventional way, the availability of that labor is not there. And whether that's because of political issues or social economic issues, you know, most of the dairy labor today is a minority immigrant labor type person. And the quantity of that labor pool is just not there. And I liken it even to, you know, a manufacturing situation or anything else. If you don't radically change the way you do something, you're always going to need a certain amount of labor to build a piece of equipment or milk cows in a conventional way. That tends to continue to be the kind of the underlying support for our product in the marketplace. Certainly the economic side of dairy has to be there. They need to be making some decent money and the banks are willing to lend and those types of things. But so long as labor continues to challenge dairy and dairy producers the way that it does, we see a very bright future. And a lot of our producers, even today, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, our traditional dairy, was kind of our target market. You know, 2 to 3 robots, that's 120 to 150, 160 cow dairy. If you look at how that trend continues to shift, we still have a lot of producers of that size buying our product, still make up a good portion of our sales. The interesting part is in the last 12 to 18 months, the part of the market that has really exploded for us is what we call our large dairy customer, Dairy XL, anybody, let's say, at that 1,000 cows or above. We're seeing the number of inquiries and the number of sales into that segment of the market jump dramatically. So they're not buying 2 or 3, they're buying 20 or 30 robots. And that tends to, one, drive the numbers very quickly, but two, it's also a signal that no longer is the labor situation only challenging the smaller producers, it's challenging the entire market. So they're all looking for an alternative way to continue to be viable in the dairy industry, but they have to do it differently than they've done for the last 20 or 30 years.
Anything else you'd like to share with our listeners today?
No, I think it's always good to get everybody an update. I think we're 5 or 6 years now into this venture that is Lely North America. It's gone quicker than most people, I think, in our organization had anticipated. And in hindsight, we've seen a lot of good things happening. And what's even more exciting is that there's even, I think, a brighter future for us, you know, for our organization, both here in Pella and across North America. And keep an eye out for what that opportunity might look like for some of your listeners, because it's going to be job opportunities. It's going to be, you know, continued expansion of our presence here in Pella, and that's exciting for everybody involved.
Thanks to Chad Heiser for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.